Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to see you all again. Unfortunately, under difficult circumstances, I know people were excited about having their church services start up. And I know I want to thank Frank for his kind words. It's been a challenge at within the medical field. Things were somewhat stabilized in the last few weeks, especially at County USC, or the county hospital. The numbers have had a significant uptick. It is interesting, in one of our most recent reports, it wasn't necessarily people were coming in with COVID, and there were some coming in with that. It was the people were coming in for other procedures, and then they were tested and then found to be with COVID. And once that happens, then you have to follow different protocols. So I hope you all are safe and healthy, and just be careful as we go out there, and just and remember that God is, through it all, God's still in charge. Today we're having a theme, and it wasn't planned, and I would like to continue on in a way with the overall theme of this. And in our lives, we will experience emotional wounds. These wounds can come for a variety of reasons. Sometimes emotional wounds come through the loss of someone special in our lives, as we heard today about Herb and the loss the family definitely feels. I lost my younger brother almost 8 years ago when a car ran off the highway and struck him, killing him instantaneously. My brother was developmentally disabled, and he was walking to a job training center when the car ran off the road and struck him. I can still recall the phone call I received from a Milwaukee County deputy sheriff on my brother's cell phone. It was confusing to hear another voice. It wasn't my brother's voice when I picked up the call. However, I do remember the following phrase that's still very clear, even to this day. We regret to inform you. Even though it's been almost 8 years, it still hurts to think about it. It hurts deeply. I still miss him. I miss his humor. I miss his innocence. And he was really a wicked air guitar player. And we used to have a lot of fun when we would get together over the years. Maybe our hurt, our emotional wound, is due to a relationship that has gone awry. Maybe it's a family member that we have not talked to in many years. Maybe we have tried. Maybe we've tried hard, but the family member wants no part of it, and it hurts. Maybe a misunderstanding happened along the way with a friend and resulted in an argument, sharp words, and a parting of ways. It could be that that pain of losing that friendship is still there. Maybe it's hurt as a result of our relationship with our spouses. Maybe there's pain from the past that still is impacting our relationship. It could be that we've heard a particular phrase when we have talked to others about the pain we're experiencing. The person says this phrase, then you realize they're trying to help us deal with the pain that we are experiencing, to give us hope in a dark time in our lives. And it goes something like this: it will be okay. Give it some time. Or we may have heard the phrase either said to us or to someone else: time heals all wounds. At some time in our lives, we may have sought to encourage a grieving person by using the phrase, time heals all wounds, or some derivation of it. The commonly used phrase is meant to comfort others by giving them the hope that the mere passage of time will somehow rid them of their pain and restore their well-being. It's just a matter of time. Maybe we have said it to others. Maybe we have said it to ourselves, that one day our heartbreak will be part of the past, that we will manage to overcome the emotional pain, that those difficult times will go away and the painful emotions won't get the best of us. We may tell ourselves that there's light at the end of the tunnel, that everything will eventually pass, that one day we might even laugh at all of this, that one day we may learn a lesson from all this. It's a matter of time. Time heals all wounds. I like to read an article from Psychology Today. Does Time Heal All Wounds by Leo Royden, May 31st, 2019. It starts off the article, time heals all wounds. It's one of the most unhelpful cliches you can pull out when speaking with a grieving person. Right up there with, it's all part of God's plan, they're in a better place now, or any sentence beginning with, at least. Then again, there's a bit of truth in plenty of unhelpful sayings, and research does attest to the healing nature of time. For most people, by 18 months post-loss, symptoms of acute grief, listlessness, pervasive sadness, lack of pleasure in life, anger, nightmares, insomnia, yearning, numbness, etc., have generally greatly lessened in severity. Most people. And so, even though there's some truth with the phrase, I dislike it when I was at the acute stage of grief. And I still like it today in my clinical work, but for different reasons. And here's why. Then she goes through 7 different reasons why she dislikes the phrase. The first, some things actually get worse before they get better. Even in the long run, time doesn't actually improve matters for some people. 3, time goes really, really slowly when you're hurting. She notes, with regard to this, the author states, time heals all wounds is like a slap in the face when minutes feel like hours. Hours feels like days, and days, well. 4, the days can all bleed together. 5, trauma is literally timeless. The author notes that traumatic deaths are harder to heal from because of the way the traumatic experiences are processed and stored as memories by the brain. 6, the truth of the statement, even when true, depends on entirely what you mean by the word heal. And 7, nobody can tell you what your unique experience of loss will be like. Oh, I'd like to also read from Legacy Connect with an article by Deborah Morris Coryell entitled, Time Does Not Heal All Wounds. Among the most frequently repeated phrases about suffering are that time heals all wounds, or this too shall pass. Time passes. It does not heal. Healing is an active process, not a passive one. If we have a cut and do nothing to clean it out or do not apply a salve, it will probably form a scab. It might take longer and it might develop an infection, but the wound will most likely close and leave a scar. Later in the article note, the author notes, time does not heal, but healing does take time. We can see these sources that I just quoted do not believe that time heals all wounds. But what does the Bible say about this? Is the idea of time heals all wounds biblical? Is it found in the Word of God? And that's what I would like to explore today. So for those who would like a title to this message, it is, Does Time Heal All Wounds? To begin this message, I would like to take a look at the concept of time in the Bible, specifically in the New Testament and the Greek words used for time. The Greek language uses 3 words, effectively 3 concepts with regard to time. The first is chronos. This is the most familiar. It means chronology of days governed by the carefully calculated Earth's sweep around the sun. The Greeks liked to personify about everything, and Cronos was depicted as old father time, a weary, bent-backed old man with a long gray beard, carrying a scythe and an hourglass. Chronological time is what we're all familiar with. It's linear, it's sequential. We measure it with clocks and we use it to gauge distance in space. The term light years come to mind. Seconds leads to minutes, hours to days. It's a measurement that governs our daily lives. In many ways, our society has become slaves to chronological time. We say time stops for no one. Time is money. And it's a commodity to be spent or it's wasted. Our problem is that Cronos' clock is constantly ticking. We can't slow it or stop it. And once it's lost, we cannot get it back. In the New Testament, the word Cronos is used 54 times. I'd like to go to three examples just to go there. First, turn to 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. It states in 2 Timothy 1, verse 9, who has saved us and called us by a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time, before Chronos happened, began. We can see Cronos is also used in Acts 27, verse 9. If we could turn there, Acts 27, verse 9. Acts 27, verse 9. It states, now when much time, Cronos, had been spent, and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, men, I perceive that the voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives. 1 Peter 1, verse 17, if we could just turn there briefly. 1 Peter 1, verse 17. 1 Peter 1, verse 17. It states, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay, your Chronos, here in fear. In each of these cases, the word time or Chronos discusses sequential time. The next word is Kairos. Kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S. And in the New Testament context, Kairos refers to a decisive point, to the appointed time of God, to God's timing or God's order and scheme of things. These are times of significant opportunity. And these are times when remarkable things can happen. It may be that Kairos is better understood in terms of questions as it relates to Chronos. When we ask, what time is it? The answer is expressed in chronological terms. But when we ask, what is time for? The answer brings us closer to the meaning of Kairos. We live in a chronological world, and the concept of Kairos is almost all but lost. We have no equivalent word in the English language, but Kairos is the notion of an appropriate time. It relates to something that's about to happen. There's an opportunity to be seized, and what we decide will affect our future. Kairos describes the moment when the time is right to take destiny into our own hands. And let's take a look again at three examples of how Kairos is used. First, turn to Mark 1, verse 14. Mark 1, verse 14. Mark 1, verse 14. It states in Mark 1, verse 14, now after John was put into prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time, or the Kairos, is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Turn to Galatians 6, verse 10. Galatians 6, verse 10. Galatians 6, verse 10. It states in Galatians 6, verse 10, therefore, as we have the opportunity, or here, once again, kairos, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Here, the word kairos, used for time, is talked about a decisive point. We don't see the word time here. But the Greek word for opportunity used here is kairos. It means sense. And it makes sense because kairos can speak to opportunity, to the right time, and to the season. Now let's go to 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. It states in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Here the word kairos, used for time, is talking about a decisive point. The time of Paul's departure was at hand. We can see the contrast of Chronos and Kairos used in the following scripture. If we turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. And it states in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1, but concerning the times, here the word Chronos, and the seasons, kairos, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. If Chronos is about measuring time, kairos is about judging it, not in its seconds or minutes, but as its significance. The next word is, the Greek word that refers to time is aion, A-I-O-N. Aion is the third expression of time in the Greek, where Chronos is linear, aion is cyclical. If Chronos is a specific day, aion is the cycle of sunrise and sunset. Aion is referred to an age, a cycle, a season, a span of time. For example, man's lifespan. It particularly has reference to eternity or forever or age. Other example, we can see this example of aion in 1 Timothy 1, verse 17. 1 Timothy 1, verse 17. 1 Timothy 1, verse 17. It states in 1 Timothy 1, verse 17, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. The word aion is used in this scripture for the word eternal, as in King eternal, but also in the word ever, as in forever and ever. In fact, in the Bible, the word aion is frequently translated as age, and as 30 times as world. Let's turn to one of those examples in Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. And it states, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. We can see that in scripture, aion, in this particular scripture, aion is translated as world. Some translations translated as age, as not being conformed to this age. So now we've seen the three Greek words used for time. So what does the Bible say? Does time heal wounds? Have we seen in the meanings of the word time in the New Testament, are any of them used with the idea that time heals all wounds? And the answer is no. The origin of the proverb is thought to trace back to ancient Greece to a playwright named Menander, who lived about 3 years before Christ, and is credited with writing the line, "Time is the healer of all necessary evils." Then what does the Bible say with regard to our human experience, which includes joy and happiness, as well as hurt, as well as pain? Let's turn to Psalms 90, verse 12. Psalms 90, verse 12. Psalms 90, verse 12. Psalms 90, verse 12 expresses the attitude we should have towards time. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. The idea is that God determines the numbers of days that we have to live, that he knows the plans he has for us during that time, and that he wants us to make the most of the time we have. Turn to Ephesians 5, verse 15. Ephesians 5, verse 15. Ephesians 5, verse 15, and we'll read through verse 17. Ephesians 5, verse 15. It states in verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Now, the English Standard Translation notes the scripture as follows. "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." We are to take action. We are to redeem the time. We have to make the best use of time. The Greek word for time used in Ephesians 5 is the word kairos. Not chronological time, but it's about taking advantage of the opportunity we have with time. The idea that revolves around kairos is what is time for? Making the most of the opportunities that come our way. It's an active term, not passive. It's not about sitting back and letting time happen to us. It is about us using the time we have been given. It's not passively waiting for something to happen. It's making something happen. When it comes to broken relationships, which can be quickly damaged by a careless word or action, the Bible indicates what should be done. If somebody has done something against us due to something we may have done, we have an action. Turn to Matthew 5, verse 23. Matthew 5, verse 23. Matthew 5, verse 23. It states, "Therefore, if you're offering your gift on the altar and there remember your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them, and then come and offer your gift." And if someone has caused us harm, we also have an action. Matthew 18, verse 15. Let's turn to Matthew 18, verse 15. Matthew 18, verse 15. "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. He hears you, you have gained your brother. But he will not hear, then with you take one or two more, that by the mouth of these two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, then tell it to the church. But if he refuse even to hear the church, let him be to you as a heathen or a tax collector. In both cases, it's not about letting time heal the damage. It's not about waiting for time to heal the pain. There's an action to be done. It's the action for the individual to repair the damage. And how do we approach others in these situations when we've been hurt? Or maybe we have hurt somebody else. Ephesians 4, verse 2. States in Ephesians 4, verse 2, how we are to approach these situations. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. The Good News translations renders this scripture as, be always humble, gentle, and patient. Show your love by being tolerant with one another. Let's go to verse 32 of Ephesians 4. Verse 32, just go down to verse 32. It states, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And what we do so, we have God as our partner. As it states in Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. We do so with humility. We do so with love. We do so in prayer, asking for God's wisdom as we approach another to deal with the hurt and the pain that may be between us. What about situations where we deal with others and reconciliation is just not possible? What about situations where we have lost somebody very dear to us? How are we going to go through those situations when we're brokenhearted? Maybe we have dreams that we once had, a future we once hoped for, has not come to pass as we have hoped, as we have dreamed, and it hurts. Again, there is no indication in the scriptures that time heals, even in these situations. But there is a place to go for healing. Psalms 147, verse 1. Psalms 147, verse 1. Psalms 147, verse 1. Psalms 147, verse 1, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. And then verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Whether it's chronos, chronological time, and kairos, opportunities, or I own the seasons, the age we live in. These are not the healer of the brokenhearted. God is. And we can know that God is there in our journey. Isaiah 61, verse 1. Isaiah 61, verse 1. Isaiah 61, verse 1. And this is a passage that Jesus quoted at the beginning of his public ministry. In some ways, this passage is what Jesus identified as his purpose statement, which is found in Luke 4, his reason for coming to this world. And it states the following. To the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord our God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. The danger of adopting a time heals all wounds philosophy is analogous to a physical wound. Yes, over time, the pain of the wound, let's say a cut, will go away, but it may leave a scar. And also there are times when unattended wounds can become infected, which can lead and result in a bigger problem than the initial wound itself. Jesus calls us to himself to be healed, but we must respond and be an active participant in that healing process. It's not just standing back and letting time take its course. Notice in all of Jesus' healing miracles, he lets the people who are in need play a role. He sometimes waits for them to ask for healing, or sometimes he gives them a set of instructions to follow, like the blind man in John 9 when he was told to wash in the pool of Siloam. The point is, pain may be diminished through time, but it's healed through God. What we need to do is to ask. In our journey, we will experience pain. We will experience hurt. We will experience brokenheartedness. But we have Jesus Christ, who lived this physical life and understands our hurts. Psalms 34, verse 18. Psalms 34, verse 18. Psalms 34, verse 18. And I'd like to read from the English Standard Version, if I may. Psalms 34, verse 18. And it states, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." Yes, at times our spirit is crushed. The hurt and the pain is overwhelming. But the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit. We also have each other. The encouragement of one another is so very important during these challenging times. Turn to Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. It states, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up." In some ways, we may have an underlying condition too that may require professional help. And we have that option as well to help us deal with our wounds. It is not that time heals all wounds. It is true that over time, the intensity of the pain has lessened. I do not feel the same pain that I felt when I heard the phone call, but the pain is still there. And through the encouragement of others, we can deal with the pain. But ultimately, it is Jesus Christ who heals the pain, takes action on our part to ask for help when we need it. Ultimately, this world will pass, and the pains and the heartaches associated with it will also pass. It's something we can look forward to, not only for ourselves, but for all mankind. Let's go to Revelation 21, verse 1. I know we know this scripture, but I think in times like this, it's good to rehearse this very important scripture, the hope for all mankind. Revelation 21, verse 1, and it's a promise to all those who cry, who mourn, who are brokenhearted. And I would like to conclude this message with these verses. Verse 1, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. In verse 4, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful.